This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0, Independent Community Media. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fred. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. We're very formal. Yes, well,
yeah. Good morning. Top of the morning to your mum. Oh, my lad. I'm just bracing myself for the future. The future in the class-filled society of Aotearoa.
Yeah. Are you getting ready for knuckling the old forehead, are you?
Yeah, doff your cap. And isn't it interesting, I remember my mum saying to me when my grandfather came over from England, and one of the grandfathers came over from England about 1913, they threw their caps in the air as they got to the port in Wellington, I think they came into. And part of it was, and then it was like, we'll never have to doff our caps again. But then class set in and, you know.
Yeah. That came back.
We don't exactly doff our caps, but... We certainly do a bit of bending over. Yeah.
Well, the more defiantly something else.
Yeah.
Because we last week's show we had this. It was all rather negative because we couldn't pull anything positive out of the year.
Well, positive but meaningful, not sort of saccharine. Yeah.
Right. Well, I've got some positives.
Yeah.
We'll do you want to do your whatever you want to do.
Hopefully, there's something positive in here.
You give us a workers' victory for a change, will you? Yeah. And there was a victory. While you were finding what you need to find, the dockers' strike in America.
Yeah.
That was a big strike, right? And it was threatening. 3 days, they settled, and it just shows you how important it was to the American machine that they basically the dockers didn't get all what they want, but basically they got far more than what the employer was offering, and the strike's off immediately. So isn't that a surprise that if they really want to, they can settle things?
Power to the collective.
Had it something to do with armaments?
Well, The
toadies here, the only thing they were worried about was, you might not get your present for Christmas,
Well, they're getting backlogs at ships already, because there's big economies and all that, but I just thought, made me smile a bit, and thought, you know, they go, we can't afford to do this. If it's something of what they call critical interest to the club, we'll settle, you know.
So it can be done.
It can be done. Yeah. So victory to the workers of America.
Yes. 5th of October.
Yeah.
1789. Thousands of women in Paris, angry over the high price and scarcity of bread, ransacked the city armoury for weapons and besieged the Palace of Versailles in one of the opening salvos.
What year? What, sorry?
1789.
1789, I thought it
was 1989,
okay.
That's the year of the revolution, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of the opening salvos of the French Revolution, but I think the Bastille one was a little bit earlier.
Nicola Willis let them eat cake? Sorry, what was her name?
Marie Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette, the Nicholas Willis of France.
I think it's about that same sort of time frame.
Yeah.
Let them eat cake.
There were lots of things going on that year.
Yeah. Then they had the meeting of the Estate General, which hadn't met for years.
Huge palace, though.
Yeah.
Tax free. built by the people. Yeah.
Hall of Mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they had the Versailles Peace Conference and at the end of the First World War.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That still exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. All the vainglory stuff.
And apparently, even in the revolution, when they were a bit socialist, they kept the Palace of Versailles, how do you pronounce it?
Versailles.
To show people their opulence, to try and scare people off being opulent, but all it does is make people, oh, I'd like to have people. A house like that. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but like Monopoly was there to, evils of capitalism.
Well, they end up replacing one class with another.
Yeah, and like Monopoly was evil. Look, this is a game to show you the evils of capitalism, and then it became a wonderful hit to see how much money, who could win the game. Yeah. Not, this is evil.
Yeah, the revolution had good intentions until this sort of business.
Yep.
Yeah.
Getting people got megalomania, say, like Robespierre.
Yeah.
Now, 1945, a 6-month strike by set decorators turned into a bloody riot at the gates of Warner Brothers Studio in Burbank, California, when scabs tried to cross the picket line. The incident is still identified as Hollywood's Black Friday and the Battle of Burbank. By the end of the day, some 300 police and deputy sheriffs had been called to the scene and over 40 injuries were reported. Partly in response to this dispute, the government passed the Taft-Hartley Act in 1947 to break up workers' organisations. So an anti-union.
Yeah. So that's not positive. Okay.
No, that's not positive at all.
Yeah. But let me guess, the 40 injured, were they? How many of them were the strikers, and how many were the policemen?
Yeah. It doesn't really break that down. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Okay. So I'll take that off the positive list.
Yeah. And I think they were the thousands of women in Paris in 1789 were rubbing Marie Antoinette's nose in it. Could take that as a positive.
Yeah.
But we'll hand over to you, Fred. You got some positive news.
Oh, you want the positive first?
Yeah.
Have you got any positive in your series?
No.
Okay. I've got two. First of all, I'd like to commend the Waikato Regional Council. Not for my rates bill, but I do understand why we get a rates bill. But inside the bill, apart from the usual how much I owe, etc., they've got a lovely little what do you call this? A brochure. Basically explaining decisions of what was in the long-term plan and how people voted and what they decided to do about it. And I won't go through it all, but commendations to them. That's what I call democracy, when we got something back to show where they spend the money, what they're planning to do.
They give you a breakdown to have.
And even how the vote was on when they were asked people about increasing our natural heritage, and what the percentage was and all that. And then what the council themselves, what we decided once we got your long-term plan, they'd say what they've decided to do about them. And some of them, they've referred them or have passed on, but most of them have made a decision or no decision required, but they say what we decided, and then they'd put it in. So full marks, whoever did that in the Waikato Regional Council.
Because that would have cost a fair packet to...
Oh, someone's had to do some work on it, but you don't mind doing that if there's a rationale behind it. And, you know, we want democracy to flourish, etc.
And it comes at a cost.
The information is what it'll do with it. Yeah,
we need to know where the money has been spent on.
Yeah.
It breaks
it down, our spending, and it's all clear where it goes to, and you know, people can moan about it or whatever else, but
because the regional council, they're in charge of the buses,
regional transport connections, which you know is a lot of money.
Does that include within the city boundaries, or is that separate?
And some, yes.
Yeah, because the city's expanding, they're going to try and find the money for bus routes,
and they're always an easy target because the people from Smugsville tend to drive there. Yeah. Not as keen as...
And they're the same individuals who want to get rid of libraries because they don't see the point in libraries.
Not all of them, but not I'm just saying...
A lot of them do.
People who don't use a facility
what they don't
often
want.
Are the naysayers.
Yeah.
It's not all because some go, I drive off to Smugsville, but my dear old mum, she takes the bus to the library. So, some I've got some empathy there. But, yeah, but... And what I think they should do... is it goes to ratepayers, and my beef is it should also go to citizens.
So the regional council covers a big area.
Oh, it's a huge area.
Top
of Coromandel Peninsula, right down to Taupo or something like that. It goes below Taupo.
It's a big area.
Both coasts, etc.
And a major river.
And major rivers.
Or rivers, I should say.
And coastlines, etc. Yeah. You know, they involved, of course, when the... What was the name of that ship that drove into the reef that was put in the way at Bay of Plenty a few years back? Reema?
Yeah.
You know, they would all be involved with that. So they do land, sea, the whole lot. So big responsibility. But I would like to see that this sort of information, and they probably do it, but it just because whether you're a ratepayer or you're paying rent, you're still the direct, indirectly paying the rates. Yeah. The landlord might sign the bank transfer. It's your rent that pays it.
That pamphlet wouldn't go to ratepayers.
No.
Renters.
No.
It would go to the ratepayer. The property owner.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Is he going to knock on the door?
There's a gap in the spreading the information.
The landlord that owns 50 houses, he's going to knock on the door of his 49 tenants and go,
50 euros.
I'd like you to read this. This is what I'm charging you that rent, extra rent for, you know.
Yeah. Like hell they would.
Because a lot of people don't understand.
I know.
People take it for granted. It's like taxes. It's like anything for free, etc.
Well, it seems to be free.
People don't unless they're taught to pick it up at school or somewhere, or someone actually tells them. How many people don't know about what the regional council does? Or who is the regional council?
That's a good question.
Like if you're just paying rent, unless someone tells you or you've learned it at school,
you won't even know
it exists.
Yeah.
You might have seen something on their vehicle, but how else?
It would probably be meaningless, and you just... You'd probably
understand the city council does stuff because you see the rubbish truck coming along, but you wouldn't see the regional council in action.
Yeah.
Unless you make the connection between them and the buses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do they? Do they have the bus? This is provided by...
this bus is brought to you by the regional council.
But you know what they put? This is funded by ratepayers. It should actually be funded by citizens.
You're talking a collective language here.
Yeah. I might make it a bit of my crusade next elections to start reminding all our intended candidates, citizens, not ratepayers. You know?
Yeah.
So that's what came out of the last by-election in Hamilton East.
Yeah, we saw that.
Very clear.
Everyone talked about ratepayers.
Not citizens. We the people. It's just
a poor attitude. It's probably an attitude that's not even thought by a lot. I think not all of them are guilty of just believing them and us, but they just don't think of it.
They're a bit lazy.
A bit lazy in their thinking, you know? It's like, well...
Yeah, bit of that, bit of privilege.
Because that's what attitude goes back to the 19th century and beyond, you know, the idea of people only having votes. At the time...
Landed people.
Yeah, before the universal vote came in, like in the UK, I think 1 in 7 males had the right to vote.
Yeah.
1 in 7.
Because they had property.
Well, I can tell.
Obviously, women didn't have any say in the matter at all, but every six blokes didn't have a vote because they didn't own property.
Well, here's a little antidote. When I was dropping you off at the doctor to get your foot sorted, I went for a walk around Beale Street. You know, there's Beale Cottage and all that.
Yeah.
Well, in 18s, don't quote me the year, but I was looking at some of the information boards.
Mid-19th century, you know. It's
1877 or something. There was the vote for mayor, and there was two guys. One was Dawson Street, Dr. Beale and versus thing. Yeah. And the vote was 75 for Dr. Beale and 80 for Mr. Dawson.
So it's all to do with property.
You know, that was the vote. That was the numbers of votes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that came down to property.
That was a landslide.
Yeah.
So that was until the women got the right to vote in this country. Prior to that, it used to be if you looked at the old electoral rolls.
Yeah.
They'll have the name, what they did, and by chance they own that property or they own that property.
I might be wrong. I'd like to think I was wrong, but I've got an awful feeling I wouldn't be. If you actually put out a vote or a survey on what people thought of who should vote, and you asked the question, should people who don't own property be allowed to vote? And you asked the people who own property.
Well, I think you answered your own question.
I wonder what the answer would be.
Yeah, it's almost self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that'd be fairly blatant.
Yeah, so
I'll say, they don't own property,
And what's interesting about Mr. Dawson is he got elected by one by five, and then a few months later he left and went to Auckland. And Dr. Beale left after a while and went to... They all fell on hard times. I don't know much about Hamilton and
there was depression. Depression in the latter part of the 19th century.
Was there?
Yeah, 1890s.
Was that probably due to the fact that the colonisation had happened and the militias were being disbanded, etc.?
I think it's more worldwide than that.
Okay, because Dr. Beale, he was with one of the militias, so he would have got his...
Oh, yeah, we've got
a payment from that.
And a plot of land, yep.
Well, and Mr. Dawson probably as well, I don't know for a fact, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a place in Hamilton that was called Irish Town because of the soldiers that fought part of the militia or part of the army or whatever it was. And they were given lots of land.
Yeah.
That was part of the deal, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the higher up, typical class system is...
Oh, higher up, the more you got.
The higher up, more acreage of land you got.
That's always been the case.
Yeah.
And that's the people who...
Who did the dine? Was the higher ups or the lower
that's
downs?
That's irrelevant. we're moving on now. Let's move on. That's the attitude, eh?
They're definitely...
What happened to a soldier if he got killed? Did they still get the land allocated? Would they?
Well, it depends if they made a will, and dependents, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't answer that question.
I wouldn't be guaranteed, surely, to find
something. No, because nowadays they would, but in those times, I wonder what happened to Benny who went out and
got a spear in his belly for...
Well, Legionnaires and Roman Army, if they made a will, their dependents would have got something. His wages and a bit paid, and some or left it to his comrades.
Okay,
one of the duties was had to go through after battles, see who died, see who made a will, see who was going to get what, sort of stuff.
Okay,
so yeah, you had to.
So it has been around for a long time. This idea of compensating dependents of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think even the Romans did that.
Yeah, the Romans did it.
Yeah. Then we went to the Dark Ages. How many hundred years?
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, the light was off for quite some time.
I still can't believe how they managed to go from a heated houses. This is even for the landed gentry. Yeah. Not talking about peasants. They never got to sit in the heated houses. But how did they go from heated houses with baths and saunas and villas to go back into having a long drop out of a windy, drafty castle with a fire in the middle of the hall? What happened?
That's a really rough.
We're looking
at
you,
Max.
Sorry,
there's another one of those periods of history called the Great Leap Backwards.
This is when I'm quite happy to be a Maori.
Things like concrete. That was right.
That's what I mean. What happened?
That disappeared.
Yeah. Once the Romans left, everything went. Everything shut up shop.
And they also say that
then the church stepped in and started.
People also kept, and it's true to a certain extent in a lot of cultures, etc. People had a skill about knowing how to navigate somewhere or how to build concrete. They kept it inside. To themselves, the secrets, etc. Because that was money. Yeah. If you knew,
that's where the guild sort of thing crept in. Yeah. Your skills kept to yourself.
It's when the
Dark Ages
protects your income, doesn't it? Protects your mana.
During the Dark Ages, there was only certain people who were literate.
Yeah,
most of those are priests,
monks. Yeah.
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 And they have a slant on history, so yeah.
Yes, they do.
Well, we know. We've looked at certain religious books, a few slants in there.
Lots of stories that weren't quite correct.
Not their issue. It's just you're telling a story. You tell it in your favour, don't you? Not nine times out of ten.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Okay.
What you got there, Mick?
Well, this one caught my eye. I don't know if you copped this in your job, Craig, but this is disabled paid, still paid as little as a dollar an hour. And the government continued with a policy to allow employers to pay disabled workers below the minimum wage despite a warning from Treasury. Disability advocate Juliana Carvalho, I think that's Portuguese, called the move a violation of rights and said the policy robs disabled people of their dignity. But Disability Issues Minister Louise Upson said the alternative was a costly intervention that didn't address the issue of supporting disabled people into employment. It seems like a whole lot of hogwash to me.
That's just an excuse.
Yeah. The Minimum Wage Act 1983 allows an employer to pay a disabled person as little as $1 an hour. And in May last year, the Labor government introduced a wage supplement to top up the pay of disabled workers impacted by the scheme so they could be paid the minimum wage. And guess what? The unholy trinity had decided to reverse that and scrap it.
Yeah, I think...
I thought it's pretty disgusting that... On one hand, this government is saying that, you might be on a benefit or you might be, but if you've got the ability to work, then you should work. And you think, well, okay, fair enough. But then to find out you struggle to find a job and you have a disability or some sort, and you're only going to get paid $1 an hour?
Mm.
I mean, it's taking the proverbial, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, that's disgusting. I mean, what does that say? How we treat the most vulnerable.
Yes, well, that's come...
Well, we know.
A measure of a good government is how they treat all their citizens.
Mm. Yeah. Not the ones that just go to the
Treasury
movies.
warned against this, though, because it says that the Treasury Budget 2024 information released for September 24, just last month, issued earlier this month, revealed its advice to the government was that cancelling the policy could breach New Zealand's obligations under the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability.
Yeah, the disabled.
Our government's just going to say, let's just be like Israel and ignore it.
Or like the USA. Toe the line.
Yeah, people who come up with these policies, they're not affected by this.
No.
If they were treated like this, they'd be jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah. You imagine taking away their cup of tea set in some of the...
But these are
the
people who've...
Head offices.
Who've, with certain difficulties, struggled to find work because they've been encouraged to do it, and then they get rewarded with that. That's just pretty disgusting, really.
Yeah, it's a peanuts and monkey thing. Yeah.
Well, it is, eh? And someone somewhere will probably profit this because you get cheap labour. They'll be doing whatever the job they're being told to pay for.
Yeah,
and someone somewhere is going to be profiting on cheap labour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the arguments they had with people like prisoners working. It's the same argument.
Same argument. Yeah. Someone is making a buck out of this.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. And what do you think about Labour MP being criticised for... This is, what's his name? Damien O'Connor, who put a post in... He's been criticised for a social media post which appears to justify the October 7th attack on Israel where Hamas militants killed more than 1,000. He's refused to back down on this.
Is this the 75-year-old occupation of the Palestinian people and more brutal stuff? And it's sort of, we're not allowed to...
Because apparently he's reposted the quote, this is Damien O'Connor, Palestinians have every right to do whatever they did on October the 7th.
Well, Antonio Guterres has said it didn't. October the 7th didn't happen out of nowhere. This wasn't just innocent Israelis just minding their own business being fair to Palestinians. No. This was an occupying people.
Yeah.
October the 7th was a surprise attack. They got killed. Some got killed who may well have been innocent in the first instance, not innocent fact that they're citizens as an occupying people.
But the double standards, they're calling on Palestinians who've committed war crimes to be tribal. Yeah. But it's no mention of the Israelis who've been doing the same thing. And there's a very good documentary starting on Al Jazeera called Gaza, and it looks at some of the stuff that Israelis don't want the world to see.
Yeah, but there's a few in Labour, Damien O'Connor, and there's another guy from Christchurch.
Duncan Webb.
Who've been very strong on and saying this is not
good
right.
on them for standing up.
Because what we've got in government has been utterly spineless.
Yeah. Well, at least, let's face it, that they at least could drag the Israeli ambassador, summons him and give him a good dressing down. But
we won't go there.
We saw the thing about from even Winston Peters, and don't get me on about Keir Starmer, that what they were saying about, they condemn Iran attacking Israel, which is, okay, fair enough, but put it in context.
Israel also attacked Iran.
Took out people visiting peacefully.
And they took
out the ambassador in Syria. They've taken out, this is Israel.
Mm.
Doing the bad stuff.
That seems to be
Are we condemning that? We go, come on.
It was kind of like the comment that I picked up on one of the Dr. Democracy Now! Programs. It was, The killing of Hassan Nasrallah is a measure of justice, according to Biden and Harris.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
And Keir Starmer probably go along with that.
Well, I
haven't had the stomach to listen to it, but you told me that it was pretty...
It was vomitous.
I've heard,
That he gave out his thing about innocent Israelis and all this and terrible Iran and all that. Well, no one minds that if it was in context.
Once no one completely guilty, no one's completely innocent.
Yeah, and I think, where does he get his foreign policy from? And that's what's sad for me. It's a tragedy when we don't put it into context.
Yeah, it probably stumped the words of Tahir al-Sunni, the Libyan ambassador to the UN, would sum up exactly what you're saying. Welcome to the world of double standards.
Yes. Yeah, and hypocrisy. And it's just, we seem to be blinded. We're so terribly upset about Russia.
We're busy condemning Russia.
Who occupied for
war crimes and blah 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 blah. But we don't go anywhere near Israel.
Meanwhile, Israel's allowed to take out 100 people in an office building, take the residential building to get two Hamas or Hezbollah
suspects,
resistance fighters. So double standards, hypocrisy. It's really just quite disgusting. That the West, we just have a double standard, even on how we present it. Our Winston Peters, just be straight on both sides. But no,
they all got to put a spin on it.
Definitely. Yeah. Heard all of it. And I heard that he's one of those press people, Miller. Talking about how I think he was talking about the Ukraine, and he was almost in tears of what the Russians were doing to the Ukrainians.
They put two civilians in Ukraine were killed by the Russians. That's terrible, I think. But 80 were killed in a strike on an orphanage, or 18 or whatever the numbers were, tragically. Does it get the same sympathy, the same empathy?
Well, they took out that apartment block in the middle of Beirut.
To get Nasrallah. Yeah, the head.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a sovereign state, and Lebanon can't respond because it's a cop case.
Yeah. Of course it is. But isn't it? I go back though. We think we're the goodies.
We're not.
But look at the Second World War. We bombed Dresden, which was full of refugees, full of civilians.
It was no longer
a threat of any sort.
But the irony of World War II was we were supposed to be fighting for freedom. It wasn't fighting for freedom for our colonial populations in far off lands.
No,
that wasn't on the cards.
No.
Hiroshima was another one like that.
Well, Nagasaki, we attacked areas that were non-military targets.
Yeah, there was refugees there.
And go back even further, colonisation. We took out, the Americans took out all the indigenous people, as many as they could, and caused that much genocidal death and destruction. We destroyed them.
Yeah.
And that's not the only place that's done it, you know?
Yeah, well, the former colonial powers took on colonial troops to fight their wars to free them, their masters, and then told these colonials, oh, you can go back now.
Definitely.
India was promised greater autonomy from Winston Churchill provided they provided some troops, and then he reneged on it.
Yeah.
Well, it was the First World War, wasn't it?
First World War, and I think the Second World War as well.
Yeah, quite a number of them died.
Yeah, and up in Joanna Lums, what's her name? She's an actress.
Her father was a colonel of the Gurkhas.
Yeah, and she fought very hard for the...
Not pensions, because the pension for a Gurkha was...
Were the Gurkhas?
The Gurkhas.
Yeah, yeah.
The pension for a Gurkha was half what a European...
And the same what happened in Australia with the Aboriginal people who were used up in the islands, etc. You know, they didn't get the same money.
No.
Because why? Oh, colour. You know?
Yeah.
No, there's some not very... You know, you can't change history, but we should at least know about it.
There's some very unpleasant episodes from it.
Yeah.
And particularly around, say, why Iran's attitude towards the US is. And probably all stems back to 1953.
It's going to say a long time back.
To do with because they voted in a what they call a communist government into...
And the US wouldn't have liked that.
No. So they instigated, or their CIA mates instigated a overthrow, and... Then you end up with the puppet,
the Shah. Okay. Yeah. No. We don't seem to have an even rule for all.
No. Well, they come out of all these plaudits and about human rights and sovereignty, but when it actually comes down to nitty gritty and acting on it.
Very good meme on social media floating around, and it's like you're kidding yourself when the major powers are kidding themselves when they make out that they're good guys when they're giving aid with one hand and giving bombs to the same people.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving aid to one, giving bombs to the other, and you call yourself leaders of freedom, leaders of decency.
Yeah,
you know.
Thank you for that, Mick, because it also says, and I think. Damien O'Connor must have been following somebody else's lead.
Yeah,
that's right. A person called Lawrence Wilkinson, a former chief of staff to the previous U.S. Secretary Colin Powell, and he was speaking at a community church of Boston event. The video snippet shows Wilkinson, a known Israel critic, speaking about how Israel had dispossessed Palestinians of their lands, their orchards, destroyed their homes, killed their children.
Yeah.
Given that, and what he said was Israel's non-compliance with the UN responsibilities, Wilkinson said, quote, Palestinians had every right to do what they did on October the 7th. So I suspect that's where Damien O'Connor got his...
And I've listened to Wilkinson. He's often on Judge Neapolitano, Judging Freedom.
Yeah.
He's often as a guest on that. Same with that guy Ron Crooks.
Right.
And Jeffrey Sachs is often on there as well. So he's quite a good thing to podcast to listen to.
Well, we have a very narrow view of history from Simon Court.
Yeah.
Here we have a Labour Foreign Affairs spokesperson justifying the largest Jewish pogrom since the Holocaust.
So does look, this is what I can't get over. Sure, you know, 1,000 Jews were killed in Israel. Okay, some were soldiers, etc. Many were reservists, but that's not the point. But look at 2014. How many Palestinians were killed? But that's never described as a pogrom. And there were thousands killed in that. They mow the grass. They would bomb Gaza, etc.
Yeah.
How many times have thousands of Palestinians been killed? But we're not allowed to use the word pogrom or...
Well, look at the Palestinians being killed just peacefully protesting by the buffer zone.
Yeah, those people. Shot in the knee or killed,
That gets mentioned, but it's not condemned.
But so that's meaning that we're placing one people's lives more valuable than another.
Yeah.
And that's racism.
Yeah,
that's supremacy.
That's
eugenics.
Which undermines this whole UN thing about universal human rights.
Yeah.
Which lots of countries, including Britain, America and us, have signed up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sort of puts Court in the racist group, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's just... whether they generally believe it. But as I say, how can you sort of look one way and go, oh, 1,000 were killed, that's terrible. That's fair enough, comment. But not look at the 40,000 to 80,000 people that are either killed or missing, and not go, "Well, isn't that terrible. A pogrom as well?"
Mm. Yeah, but nobody sort of break down how many people actually were killed by Hamas in that whole October 7th event. How many of those hostages were taken were killed by IDF?
Oh yeah, and others.
Break it down, please.
Yeah, but I say it still goes back to me. Let's just equate people as the same. We're human beings.
Yeah.
And this sort of, well, that people's lives are worth more than those people. It's an awful thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just supremacy. God.
Yeah.
And it just ferments more unrest. It's self-defeating because it goes on.
Yeah. I see in Gaza, the Gaza Health Ministry has put out figures and there's 900 families in Gaza no longer exist. And when they say exist, there's no relations.
They've been wiped out.
And that happened a little bit in Germany, especially, and some of those bombing, like Dresden, it wiped out
whole families, generations.
And then it said something like, there's another so many hundred or thousand, don't quote me on it, but have only got one or two family members left. We're talking about the whole family, cousins and all that.
Because
I don't know if you probably realise, in the Middle East, it's quite common that you tended to live you lived in the family house. So you just built another story. So families all lived either on top of each other. Or very close to each other.
Yeah, I knew that from the Saddam Hussein stuff.
And I think sons tend to take their brides back to their house and they build another story on top or to the side or wherever they can. If the Israelis haven't taken the land,
Stolen the land. Foreign Assistance Act. Do you know that?
No.
Foreign Assistance Act. March 2024, Bernie Sanders and seven other senators warned Biden that arming Israel was a violation of the Foreign Assistance Act 1961.
Oh, that's right.
What happened to which bars the US from arming countries that limit humanitarian aid?
Which is what they're doing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So they're breaking their own laws.
Yeah, they're breaching a domestic act or legislation. Yeah. Two agencies, the U.S. Agency for International Development and State Department's Bureau of Population, Refugees and Migration said domestic law dictates a suspension of military aid to Israel. One, I think somebody who was connected with that resigned because Biden rebuffed the findings and said...
Sorry to interrupt, but is this the same president who saw 40 beheaded babies?
I'll rephrase. Blinken rebuffed the findings. While Israel may be obstructing aid, there wasn't sufficient evidence to conclude that arms transfers must be paused.
That's a cop-out for us. How much more evidence could you possibly want?
Yeah. So somebody resigned in the light of all that from... I think
there's been several people from the State Department have resigned.
Over there, yeah, but one main figure. She'd written the report.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, Israel controls everything going in and out of Gaza.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And you know, we've had a few photoshops of them dropping food aid and all that. Israel still allows that to happen or not. End story. Yeah. There's no access to Gaza unless it's through an Israeli, because they control the Egypt. Gaza border now, so they can't go there. Anywhere else, Israel lets stuff trickle through, but they each truck, they search it and unsearch it.
So the aid getting in there is trickle. Yeah. So breaches are quite a... This is a significant act,
genocidal.
The act itself, Foreign Assistance Act.
Yeah.
It's quite a significant... It's sort of a tool for...
Has that ever worried the Americans, though?
No, it hasn't.
Well, it doesn't seem to be worrying her at the moment.
So they're
in breach of their own law.
Yeah, they're calling for the impeachment of Blinken and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. So you've got, you've basically got the American election's coming up. You've got there's no light of day between what Harris is saying and what Trump's saying as far as Israel goes.
No.
They had the vice president debate. No light of day between Walz and what's the other guy's name? Vance. The only one in America who's strongly anti-genocide and is Jill Stein from the Greens.
Yeah.
And is... But of course, they've had the Democrats have been trying to keep them off the ballot. The Americans got you need money to get your name on a ballot.
So much for democracy,
Democracy with a checkbook.
Flawed, but she's
strongly anti-genocide, and
she won't get much tread.
She's getting a little bit, but the mainstream media won't.
They won't go near it.
Because, she's got other socialist policies and green policies.
She can't go there.
Well, what America's like. But good on her. There is an alternative for Americans. They don't just have to vote for Democrat. Because the Democrats saying, you mightn't like us because of
we're
not as evil as him better than...
But there's more and more people over in America calling out for... They want to get rid of the two-party system. They want a broader choice.
Well, it goes back.
More people are asking for it, but whether the...
Their political system is flawed. Yeah. We've got a government, a UK government that got a landslide with 33% of the vote.
Yeah, less than they got the previous time.
Than Jeremy Corbyn got, and he got a hide-in last time. That's
flawed too.
So, ours is still a very good system, generally speaking,
warts and all, let's say.
Because we all get a vote and it all counts.
Yeah.
You know, even though some list MPs go their own way.
Yeah. What else have you got there?
This touches the subject. I think we covered it a few weeks ago about building towns and houses in less vulnerable areas like flood prone plains or earthquake. Insurance, this is the New Zealand Insurance Council, because the government is going to change, is going to replace the Resource Management Act to ensure people, this is the hope of the Insurance Council, to avoid people building in dumb places. Because our shaky, weather-beaten islands are no paradise for insurers who are nervous about exposure to risks posed by earthquakes, climate change-induced storms like Cyclone Gabriel we had a couple of years ago. But
floods, etc.
Floods, yeah. Earthquakes. He said that the New Zealand Council saying that New Zealand was particularly vulnerable to natural hazards, with the Climate Change Commission's warning of around 750,000 people and 461,000 buildings are at risk of coastal inundation or inland flooding, involving billions of dollars in insurance and repairs, if you can get insurance. So they're pleading with the government to put some regulation to avoid the very thing that they're...
And we're talking about when Mick and I are, we're quite low lying.
We do get
a bit of surface flooding, but you know, I think the real bad rain we had, it was got up to 3 or 4 inches temporary. But what was interesting was all the older houses that are built, like mine, etc., and where you are, etc., they're all built on piles.
Yeah.
So they can allow for some flooding, etc.
Maybe it was let the water go underneath.
Yeah, and okay, they all had vents, and of course the odd garage, of course, was just put on a pad. But then, of course, the one house where that big rain a couple of years ago, one house was a new house, and it was built on a pad, and that got
inundated.
Flooded. And of course, cost the insurers and whoever else an awful lot of money. Well, common sense would have thought when they were building it, not to rely on a drain. We need to be a foot or so above the ground level. Because, you know, if anyone had ever looked at where the water flows, it was exactly in that floodplain, you know. And mine, it goes for where I live, et cetera. And you can mitigate it, but my house is on piles, you know.
The whole idea is to mitigate it.
Yeah.
You can't stop floods. No. But if you can stop the initial deluge and... then all well and good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we're quite raised above...
We're quite a way above the river.
You still get local flooding coming down from your hill.
Yeah, you get localised.
You'll get that problem, yeah.
And let's face it, infill housing, etc., there's not as many open green sections...
Well, it's mostly
...that
concrete.
Absorb water.
Well, it's just concrete and crap.
Other houses, yeah.
So, But you, on one of the bits of paper that you had there, Mick, you had on the front or the top of it, red tape and government crosshairs as it turns to infrastructure. And
I think
this is emphasising on housing.
Yeah.
Mm. So if they're going to tinker with around the regulations, are we going to have a serious re-invite of leaky house syndrome?
That's
what I'm fearing.
Well, I'm thinking that this is just a sleight of hand, that they're going to replace this terrible Resource Management Act, come up with their own version of something as bad.
Yeah, yeah.
If they've got no regulations governing where houses are going to be built, in certain areas.
Yeah. Or the standard of building. Yeah.
And if you're going to build in that area, all the houses need to be up on piles.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that.
Yeah. And that's sort of future proofing. We can't necessarily change all the houses that have been built on pads.
No. But you can. But it doesn't mean we have to carry on doing the same.
And credit to...
We could credit
to the council and whatever else. They do know where the water's going now, and they send out, you can look on Hamilton and see where the water's going. So any of those areas that are in that and someone wants to build a new house...
And it's beholden on the developers to take note of that.
Well, it's beholden. We can't give you a building permit unless it's...
Yeah. I'm prepared to build your house, but it's going to have to be on piles.
And that's how it is. Get it?
Yeah. It saves a lot of that stress long term.
Oh, even for the owners,
just raise the house.
Yeah, the house that got flooded, I bet you every time it rains, they had a big rain the other night.
They must get a bit worried.
They were totally reliant on a couple of drains.
Yeah, I've noticed they've been keeping the street gutter clean.
Absolutely. Since we had that big rain and that flood, I know, Mick's right, the gutter
is pristine. The grate
has been cleared more regularly.
There's one grate on Kahikadea Drive.
Yeah.
That remains always blocked.
What, the garbage and
rubbish? It's just never been cleaned.
Okay.
And so there's and because Kahikadea Drive is probably slightly elevated from the houses on the on our side.
So all the water drains in the direction of this
into our properties.
Yeah.
Straight into the grate that doesn't work because it's blocked.
It just goes down the driveway and it floods the property.
Yeah. But they give the credit to the developers of the Wairere Drive and under there. They've built swales behind where you live, Mick, and so they've got a bit more of a management plan.
A vision.
Which is great.
I have a dream.
Which we don't see here.
No.
I look at those three faces and
by the time they finish, that will be just as bad as the resource management that they're claiming they want to replace.
But some of the consultants.
Because they want to get rid of the regulations. It's all about the regulations. They want to get rid of the regulations and then we'll end up with problems like this where people have built houses where it's totally inefficient.
Let me guess, they will still probably want people to pay for the water protection barriers.
Oh, of course.
At Beachville.
Matakana and that's paid for by the peasants.
Yeah,
as usual.
Or built by the peasants.
Yeah. As usual.
Because I know that they were also talking about the building infrastructure for schools in this country being in serious decline.
Mm. Well, it's the same problem. Houses, schools, hospitals.
Not being updated, not being maintained.
Mm.
And it's successive governments, not just these.
It's not the current unholy trinity.
I know I get in trouble for it, but we should be like China. China has a vision of how to do things.
That's a bad word to say.
Sorry, guys. I know.
Don't you mean a long-term plan?
But we don't have. We tend to have electoral cycles as our plan, maybe a bit further out.
Focus.
Yeah. Whereas China goes, what's our 100-year plan here? What's our 50-year plan here? What's our 25? And okay, it's draconian, and there's things wrong with it. But in the end of the day, they actually don't just think of this term.
No, I think, because the school buildings were diabolical under the Key government. I remember Northland College, and I think there was a Menurewa primary school.
Yeah, but
they badly needed repair.
Yeah.
Leaky buildings and substandard.
Now we've got a substandard government, and still the substandard buildings remain.
There's always seems to be building work going on at schools. There must be quite a if you've got a contract with schools.
You'd be smiling all the way.
Knighton Road. There's always builders there.
They're wanting to take the responsibility of school maintenance out from the Ministry of Education and create another level of bureaucracy.
Well, I thought the whole point that Seymour wanted to get rid of the bureaucracy. That's why he invented another ministry to regulate the other ministries.
Yeah, that's if I looked at the...
So if the government wants to pull out of being involved in maintenance of school buildings, who's supposed to pick up local councils or...?
Oh, they want to create a new body, and that was the words that came out of that person's gob.
Oh, that person.
Yeah, that person, yes. Yeah. The person who went to Paris on the taxpayer's ticket.
Yeah.
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 Sorry.
It seems this government's because the government wants to repeal the oil and gas. They want to.
Oh, Shane Jones.
They want to revive it. Legal advice from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, in fact, warned the government that it's repealed the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration, opened New Zealand up to reputational and legal risks with its trading partners.
They won't accept goods from a country who has...
Yeah, the regulatory impact statement sent to Resource Minister Shane Jones by the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment contains a series of assessments from MFAT regarding the reversal's potential impacts on New Zealand's free trade agreements with the likes of the United Kingdom and the European Union.
And also, tourism.
How
do they sell New Zealand? If you look at brochures from overseas looking at New Zealand... We're this friendly, green, equalitarian,
beautiful beaches, blah, blah, blah.
Green. It's, that's what we say, green and beautiful. And anyone you talk to, I'm talking to someone in America, and they said, it's beautiful in New Zealand.
There are parts that are beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
But, the big but.
Yeah, but we do sell it.
We're not quite as green as we'd like to think.
And we're not. We're certainly not as equalitarian as we used
like to
be.
Think.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But we have a good democracy compared to others.
Well, that's a positive. But they're just saying that there could be obligations under these treaties that we're supposed to be meeting.
Yeah. Good.
Because they were warned about it before.
Yeah,
that would be the...
Yeah, New Zealand trade agreements include the UK, EU free trade agreements, including specifies clauses that recognise New Zealand and our trading partners' right to pass law in the interest of New Zealand, including environmental and energy policies. This is Todd McClay.
Yeah.
Saying that they take their responsibilities very seriously.
Yeah.
So they better...
And the issue has not been raised by their partners. Trading partners. Yeah. Well, if they're carrying on, as they soon will do.
If we're deemed
in breach of.
And where does the slippery slope end? Antarctica. Oh, there's oil in Antarctica. Let's go down there. Oh, you know. They're already creeping into all the fisheries down there.
What's happening in the Arctic as well.
Yeah, very much so.
So that's me and my little soapbox this week. Nothing very positive.
Oh, I've got another positive.
Oh, have you? You're just showing off.
I've got nothing. I say, I was appalled by Mr. Starmer's, the Prime Minister's speech on Israel, Iran.
Yeah, that was terrible.
But the positive was the UK government has agreed to give the Chagos Archipelago, how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, Chagos.
Group of islands.
Chagos
Archipelago, how do you pronounce that one?
Archipelago.
Yeah. They've agreed to give that to...
Mauritius.
Yeah, because it belongs to Mauritius.
Well, there's an issue there.
Because the Brits took it off them.
And also pre-colonisation, everyone seemed to be quite... Or islanders tend to be more autonomous. Yeah. So... So Mauritius is going to get it back, apart from guess what?
A military base.
Diego Garcia Island.
Garcia, which has...
A military base.
The Brits have it, and then they let the Americans use it for their bombers and the military base. And they forcibly got rid of all the peasants. I mean, the locals out of there, I think in the 1960s or 70s. So they depopulated that island.
It took a long time. They've been agitating for a long time for independence.
Yeah, and it didn't gain any ground till recently, and then they finally said yes. But, of course, the deal is they don't have to give back the military base. All the other stuff, which probably all... I haven't looked at it, but it's probably all under threat from being going under the water anyway.
Well, yeah.
Sounds like Maldives.
Apart from this military base, so it's... Yeah, probably a win-win
for
everyone.
It's good for the locals.
It's just sad because a lot of those people have died who were forcibly
removed.
So whether they'll get compensation finally for being evicted.
With the current austerity measures, I think they might be waiting a long time.
Seven a day.
So I thought that was something that needed to happen, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly good. Except.
There's always a catch.
Some of the naysayers said, oh, that's terrible. What happens if the Mauritanians, sorry, but it's called their people?
Mauritians.
Mauritians, what if they decide to give one of the other islands to China to have as a base? And why not? If China comes along and offers them something, why not? That's autonomy. That's
almost
independence.
Almost wished it
did. Wouldn't that upset the Americans?
They'll cry.
Yeah.
Give it a proverbial big finger.
But when thinking about the US and you thought about the, what was it, Hurricane Helene, wasn't it?
Good on bringing that up.
And all the damage and the death and destruction caused by that. And then you compare that, how much would it cost to fix that?
Billions.
And all the money that's wasted on weapons of death.
But it's not wasted if you are a shareholder.
I call it waste. I do too.
You know what I mean? This is where their mindset is.
Well, the waste comes in because they have to repeat this every time there's a tragic storm.
But see, isn't it?
That's the waste.
The waste is that, we have to divert a bit of attention to that. They'd far rather sell a tank, seeing it blown up, and sell another one. Sell an artillery shell.
It's going to cost them billions, this damage, but then they'll get it all fixed up, and then the next one will come and hit them, and they'll have to do the same thing again.
North Carolina and Tennessee, apparently. And this is interesting, because the hurricane came in off the coast, and they think it's going to damage the coastline. But then it was the rain came down and just
flooded everything.
The visuals of it are, you know. But okay, tragic death, a couple of hundred people are dead so far. Nothing compared to the war in Lebanon or Gaza. And not deliberate, of course. But massive damage, flooding the nature. And all that dirty, polluted water goes where?
Into the sea.
It's not deliberate in terms of they set it up, but the fact that their response makes it this thing going to be repeated time and time again.
But you know what? They'll repair it a lot better than they did New Orleans. You know why?
Because of whites.
Yes.
Ooh, did you say that again?
Whites.
Yes.
Exactly.
There's parts of New Orleans which haven't been repaired, and they belong exclusively to African-Americans.
People with a different tone of skin.
There's a very good documentary on Al Jazeera, man. Talks about this. Not a single European died in cyclone...
New Orleans.
It was all poor African-Americans.
Wow. But just shows... So they'll fix it. And America's a huge, wealthy country.
But yes, they fix it and then they have to do it again and again because they're not taking action to try and mitigate the effects.
And the same thing, they start to, like everywhere, pressure of it's been a popular area, Ashworth or Ash, something
that's,
is the main centre in,
isn't it?
North Carolina.
North Carolina,
it was the sort of centre of it. But of course, there's been a huge demand of people wanting to go and have the lifestyle and all this and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that could change, though.
And of course, then the pressure is where you put your house, where you put your building. And so buildings have been put up.
Well, in this documentary on Al Jazeera, they talk about this, about Mississippi. It lost 19 parishes from coastal inundation.
Yep.
Plus, the sediments come in from up the river.
Yep.
It affects the oyster farms.
Oh,
They'll be just snuffed out.
Yeah.
And then those people won't have a job. They'll have to go to the oil industry or the military.
Or might get a job rebuilding, a bit of labouring around.
Depending
on
where they're going to rebuild.
Yeah.
Because some of the roads, particularly in Georgia, are
bad.
Are pretty ordinary.
Yeah.
Where's all the finance going into infrastructure, for example?
Oh, yeah. It's very. I've been watching a few things about America, and this guy, I can't remember his name now, Nick, someone. But he drives around all these sort of rural towns in America, but he does a good job because he shows you the town, and then he gets out the average income, the average house price, poverty rates, etc. And it gives you a look at what I call a rural America.
It's like a snapshot.
Particularly through the Appalachians area.
Predominantly poor areas that get hit the hardest.
Very much so.
Down, and especially where the vote is for Republican and North Carolina's, which is always, Biden's, what's he call his friends down there, the ones he always gets, always got the African-American vote, very poor as well.
They're poor, they're struggling with their health and they're struggling to get the medical stuff and all that goes on and on.
Speaking of which, I've seen some voting started in the United States and some states are voting now.
Okay. Oh, yeah, early voting.
Georgia, Virginia, some of those swing states.
Yeah, and of course some...
Of course, there's allegations in Georgia that voter fraud, blah, blah, blah. Here we go again.
Yeah. How much time we got left?
A minute.
Just some stuff out of the census. Might talk a bit about it next week. But 29% of New Zealanders who did the census were born overseas in the 2023...
Nearly a third of the population.
Nearly a third. 52% are non-religious. 66% is home ownership, up slightly.
Yeah, they were saying that,
17.7% of the population now work mainly from home. That's nearly 500,000 people.
Nicola Willis went like that.
Yeah. Landline ownership is down to 31%.
There's a surprise.
9 in 10 households have internet.
Landlines will be pretty few and far between these days.
Yeah, 30% still have. Like my older people.
We still got one.
I mean, I've got a landline, but I don't use it because it's...
I probably won't once my mother leaves this earth, but after that, and 7.7% are still smokers. And what the census doesn't ask, they talk about all that, but they doesn't say how many people how do they catch the people who didn't do the census?
Because
that affects home ownership rates and
all that sort of stuff.
Because a lot of the people who didn't do the census will either be non-English speaking, I imagine, or they're poor and living in and just don't participate on the register or anything else. So,
But
they reckon I see a little thing. I couldn't find anything. They said, oh, no, we think we grabbed 99% of the population. Well, but
it's quite high, though.
If that's true, yeah. But I'm not sure. Sorry.
And the speakers of Māori.
5%.
Yeah,
5%.
It was up quite a bit, too.
But I wonder, and even the Māori population's up, but is that people like me claiming dual heritage?
Could, you and I, actual speakers.
Okay.
See you next week.
See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.